Well, good morning again. If you didn't catch it earlier, I don't think I even said it. My name's Keith, and I am blessed to be this campus's pastor, and I just want to welcome you here today. And for those of us who have been around, I don't know if it's just me, but I can't believe that we are in our final week of the series we've been in called It's Time to Grow Up. This is our last week of that, and what we've been doing through it is we've been journeying through the book of Ephesians for 7 weeks now, and we wrap that up today. And we're going to do that by looking at Paul's final instructions, okay, for how to be mature in our faith journey. And then next week, just to give you a little preview, what we're going to do is we're going to begin our Lent series. Lent begins next week, and that series is going to be called The Savior Enigma, okay, where we are going to continue, in fact, to grow up as we prepare for Easter during Lent, and we're going to do that by getting to know Jesus more. Okay, because many of us, we feel that we know what he was like and what he is like, but I got to tell you, with how shocking he and his teachings often are and often were, church, we probably, all of us in this room, we probably have room to get to know Jesus, this puzzling figure, just a little bit more. So that's what we're going to do in Lent. Just so you know, it really kicks off this Wednesday. And we have two opportunities for you on Wednesday. There's going to be one right here in town at 12 noon at the Presbyterian Church right around the corner where several of us community pastors, we will be coming together. We're going to be kicking off Lent there together with a 30-minute service. You're going to be able to receive ashes there if you want to. And then we're going to have lunch afterwards. And those services are every Wednesday during Lent, 12 noon right there with different people leading and those kind of things. And then also, just so you know, for Revive, we have an Ash Wednesday service at 7 p.m., open to all at our Bayview Chapel campus in Hamburg, and that's going to be it with ashes as well, if you so desire that. So hopefully you can make one of those two options, one right here in our community, one just down the road, about 20, 25 minutes. So, but anyway, today, again, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Paul's final instructions about growing up, found here in the book of Ephesians. And we pick up with this. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, says God's word, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, it is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, whether you or I realize it or not, you are in a battle. We all are in a battle. We're in a battle for our hearts. We're in a battle for our souls. We're in a battle for our minds because we have an enemy who is real and who doesn't want us to grow up in our faith, and who doesn't want us to cooperate more and more with the Holy Spirit of God to do things like conquer sin in our own life, and to do things like make the Lord's name. This enemy of ours, he doesn't want to make the Lord's name Jesus known. And this enemy is Satan, okay? And he, this Satan, he is the father of lies. And he disguises himself as the angel of light. And that is because he doesn't stand, okay? He does not stand a chance against God. He does not stand a chance against the power of God. So his, this coward, his strategy is to go after God's most prized possession. You and me, God's kids. And Satan's goal in this church is to steal. His goal is to steal, his goal is to kill, his goal is to destroy us. And when I say us, that means you. But the good news, okay? The good news is that this battle we fight, we just sang about it. It's not ours. It's not ours to fight alone. For we have a loving, loving God who is with us. We have a loving, loving God who is for us. And he gives us all that we need to have a victory. You see, in verse 13, Paul refers and then goes on to tell us how we can, in fact, take a stand against the enemy's attacks. Let's read it. Verse 13 of Ephesians 6. Therefore, Paul writes, because of this spiritual battle that we just talked about, therefore put on, says God's word, the full armor of God, so that when, notice church, not if, but what, but when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Grown and growing up Christians draw the attention of Satan. So if you are serious about your faith, which I certainly hope you are, because Jesus was serious about you, he was serious about me and his love and his care for us when he went to that cross, wasn't he? So if we are serious about our faith, if you are committed to growing up in the faith, which I have seen many of us do, including me, during this series, praise God, if we are serious about that, we better suit up. We better suit up. And you know what? We can be confident in this suit of armor. We can be confident because in it, God offers all of us the full suit. And it's not just a full suit, it's his full suit of armor. And for what and for why? So we, okay, we, so that we, can you say we? So that we can take a stand against that coward, the devil's attacks and his schemes. And in saying all that, you see, church, God does not, he does not leave us defenseless. Now, the word stand here appears four times. I don't know if you saw it. Four times in this rather brief section of Paul's letter. And Paul is saying that to stand is to be grounded. It is to be grounded. It is to be anchored, in other words, in the victory of Jesus Christ and in his saving work on that cross. And that it is the firm foundation in which we can trust. It is this thing that holds us up both now and for eternity. Both now and forever. It is an eternal foundation that we can stand firm upon now and forever, including church, including in the daily fight that we face. And we do it by daily committing to surrendering our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In other words, it is only by walking with Jesus. It is only by abiding in Jesus, it is in being in relationship with him, being connected to him, it is in that we can take this stand. And it is a victorious stand, ultimately. A victorious stand against the enemy's attacks. So with that said, Paul goes on then in the scripture to describe piece by piece this suit of armor that God has given us in order to be battle ready. And to thus have a victory as we walk with Jesus, as we face the attacks that naturally come with it, as we walk with Jesus. Now, this first piece of armor that Paul describes is found in verse 14. Let's read it. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. How many of you are wearing a belt? I'm wearing one. I am. I often do. You know, belts, they are very useful, and not just to keep our pants up, but to what? To keep our hands free, right, in many ways? Belts can be used, as we know, to hold resources, and they also can be used to keep things that are necessary close to us without the use of our hands in that moment. I mean, think tool belt or something. You see, back in Paul's day, okay, men wore long tunics, dresses for men, in other words. Now, with that said, I think you could imagine that a soldier couldn't fight very well in a tunic, right? It would just slow them down, wouldn't it? So the first thing a soldier would do in preparing for battle was to put on a heavy belt around their waist. That way he could, okay, if need be, run freely, engage in battle freely. So what he would do is he would gather up the bottom of his tunic, he would tuck it into his belt, which was often referred to, you might have heard of this, as girding up your loins. That's a term that means to be ready. It's a term that means to be prepared. And in this case, to be ready to run and to fight without hindrance and without getting tripped up. So this first piece of armor, the belt of truth, it speaks to being free. It speaks to being free and being able to fight spiritually at a moment's notice, church. So the belt of truth is what holds everything together. It is the core, really. Just as the belt is central to the physical suit of armor, the truth of Jesus and our truthfulness, our lives, living our lives according to the truth, that holds everything together. And it holds everything together for us. And always remember that ultimately, truth is who? Truth is a person. It is the person of Jesus. For Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, I am the what? I'm the truth. He is the truth. And he said, I am the life. And Jesus also said that you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? It'll set you free. That's what he said. Free. Free from not what? From not being bogged down. Free to be able to maneuver in battle. For when we have the belt of truth around our waist, it doesn't allow the enemy to have anything to hold on to hold us back with. It doesn't allow anything to hold us back as we live in and for the truth and walk that out. So let's take a quick truth inventory. Are there any lies from the enemy that are slowing you down? Is there anything that you have bought into? Are there any lies that you've taken the bait for, hook, line, and sinker? These things that are tripping you up or completely stopping you from taking your next step toward Jesus and your faith walk with Jesus? We need to put on the belt. We need to put on the belt of truth to recognize what is true. But right now, let's move on in our reading. There's lots of pieces here to get through. And Paul goes on to share the next piece of this armor, still in verse 14. Let's read it. Stand firm then with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now, a Roman soldier, after putting on his belt, he would then slip over his shoulders and over his chest a tough armor, okay? That would cover his torso from neck to waist. And it would protect some of his vital organs like his lungs and his heart. And this breastplate, it was made of a thick leather or maybe a bronze. A soldier's breastplate would be the equivalent, if you will, to like a bulletproof vest today. And in terms of spiritual warfare that we are in, I gotta tell you, church, we have good reason to protect our heart. Listen to what Proverbs 4:23 says. It says, above all else. Does this sound important? Above all else, right? Guard your heart, for everything. Everything you do flows from it. Now, wearing the breastplate of righteousness protects us by reminding us of who we are, in fact, in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who was what? He was without sin. But who became what? He became sin for us so that we may be made what? Right or righteous with God, in front of God. And how? Well, by his grace that we receive by faith in Jesus Christ. So let me ask you today, how's your heart? How's your heart? Have you been protecting it? Do you feel defeated? Do you feel hopeless? Do you feel guilt-ridden? Well, just know that your status with God is not based on our performance, but it is based on what Jesus did for us. He gave his life to make you and I right with God. Our job is to receive that. And then once we do, we surrender our life in increasing obedience to God and his ways in response to such a level of grace, to such a level of love. So when we are attacked, the breastplate of righteousness, it protects us. And it does that by reminding us that we are saved, okay? That we are saved positionally, we are saved permanently by grace. And that through that, we are not the person that we once were. No more. We are no more. It is saying, God, you know what, God? God, I still have a long way to go. God, I still have a long way to go, but by your grace, I have changed, and I am changing, and I am becoming more and more like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. My heart, in other words, is becoming more and more like his, more and more righteous. That's our journey to maturity. So that's the breastplate. So what's next? Let's look at verse 15. Basically, keep suiting up, church. Keep suiting up with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So next, we put on the gospel of peace, okay? The shoes of the gospel of peace. Or some, and this is kind of catchy, some call this the good news shoes, okay? The good news shoes. You can remember that. We put on the good news shoes. Now, the typical shoes of a soldier, they were equivalent to the combination of like a modern-day flip-flop and a football player's cleat, okay? And these shoes, they enabled them to move left and to move right, to move left and right with great agility, with great ability, right? Allowing a soldier to have what? To have a strong foundation, but also be mobile and to have things like traction. The comparison here of the spiritual armor of God is a soldier who must have the ability to make like split-second decisions and split-second changes when danger or temptation is in one's midst. Do you ever have temptation or danger or in your midst? You know what? For when you or I, when we see chaos, when we see temptation coming at us, wearing these good news shoes, they allow us to have the peace. To have the peace and the ability to turn the other way, to hightail it out of there, to make a course correction quickly instead of being knocked down, instead of being sideswiped. In fact, I want us to listen to Romans 5, 1 to 2. Also, Paul's writing through the inspiration of God. It says this, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Paul loves the word stand. Stand strong because you have peace with God. So Paul calls them the shoes of the gospel of peace, giving us, again, the traction that we need in order to be what? To be sure-footed and to peacefully stand, grounded through anything. Grounded through anything that comes at us, knowing that we, those of us in Christ, we are no longer enemies of God. No longer. We are on solid ground, church. So those are the shoes of the gospel of peace. Let's keep going with verse 16. Sorry, it's kind of like a machine gun today. I hope you're, take some breath. Breathe, right? Verse 16 says this. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, a typical Roman soldier would have a shield that was large, and it was rectangular in shape. It was probably about 2.5 feet wide and about 4 feet long, and it was often made of wood, but it would often be covered in metal or leather and soaked in water. Soaked in water before a battle, you see. And the soaking, it was necessary because of, as the verse said, the fiery arrows, right, of the enemy. You see, in the ancient times, enemies, they would often wrap their tips of the arrows in cotton, and they would soak them in tar, and then just before firing them, they'd light them up. They'd be lit up, and then thus, upon impact, a like spatter of shooting flames would come. It would come out, and it would come at the enemy's face, their hands, their clothes, even the buildings that were around them. And this often caused like these large fires. But if their shields were covered in metal or leather and then soaked in water, it would help to put out these fiery arrows and prevent that fire from spreading. And so you see our enemy, that enemy we have, Satan, well, he fights with similar flaming arrows. I hate to keep bringing this up, but arrows like the arrows of temptation. That's another one of his arrows. The arrow of doubt, the arrow of confusion, the arrow of discouragement. And it is in these moments, church, when we must take up the shield of faith. We must take it up to extinguish them. And whenever we face trials or flaming arrows, we must recall Paul's words on faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we live by what? We live by faith. We live by it. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. So let me ask you today, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you like really believe that God loves you? Do you really believe that he loves you? And do you trust that he has the best in store for you? Church, true faith should result in deep trust. True faith should result in deep trust. Now, about 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the power of being unified. Well, in that vein of thinking, soldiers' shields, they were not meant to be used on their own a lot of times. Well, what I mean is, in a battle, it was very common, okay, for the soldiers to work together and to become like this solid wall or this modern-day armadillo tank-like structure. And what that means for you and I, church, in our spiritual reality, in our battle, is that we need each other. We need each other. I need you, and you need me. And he needs her, and she needs him. We are meant to be the body of Christ and to fight the enemy together. In other words, my faith is to cover you, and your faith is to cover me. That is partially, in fact, largely why we are always encouraging you to be in like a small group or some kind of relational connection in the church outside of a Sunday morning, because you and I, we need people. We need one another. Being in personal and Christ-like relationships with one another is important. And being a people that pray for one another, encourage one another, it's important, church. We need to recognize we are all in a battle. We are all in a battle, but you know what else we need to realize? We, you and I, we are stronger together. We are stronger together as we face it. We need each other. We need each other bad. I need you bad. Our faith is just not something that's supposed to be lived out alone. It's just not. We're better together. We're stronger together. We stand more firmly together. So who are your Christian ride or dies? Who are they? If you don't have them, you best find them. Because if you're serious about growing up, he's coming. You best find those ride or dies. That's the shield of faith. And then Paul tells us the next piece of armor. It's in verse 17. Let's read it. Take the helmet of salvation. Let's just stop there. Now, the helmet was a very necessary piece of armor for a soldier in order to obviously protect the noggin, right? Wow, that was hard. Ooh. Woo! It makes a loud noise, too, when you're bald. It's kind of fun. Do you ever watch Darius Pridgeon preach, by the way? Anybody? I watched him one time. He's rubbing his head the whole time. I'm not doing that. But this was a very important piece of the armor to protect their head, especially when, can you think, in like close combat, right? Well, our enemy, Satan, he tries close combat too by maybe whispering, right? You ever get whispers in your ears? A whispering, maybe wielding around a sword of doubt or a sword of discouragement, especially what? Especially trying to get us to doubt our salvation. He especially tries to get us to doubt our salvation, to doubt our faith. So what are you filling your mind with? What are you filling your mind with these days? What are you listening to? Maybe you've heard the enemy's whispers and are doubting Jesus. Maybe you've heard the enemy's whispers, you're doubting God, you're doubting faith, you're doubting that you are even saved in Christ. This is why Paul tells us in Romans 12:2 this, that we are to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind. Bottom line, the way we think, what we think about determines how we live. The way we think, what we think about determines how we live. So we must protect our mind. We must fill it with the truth about who Jesus is. We must fill it with the truth about what God says about us. That's the helmet of salvation. Now in the second half of verse 17, Paul shifts a little bit. He shifts from defensive armor to an offensive piece of armor. I don't know if you've noticed, but really everything for the most part right now has been defensive. And he does so by saying this in verse 17. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of truth. So church, it is after a soldier put on his belt, his breastplate, his shoes, his shield, his helmet, that he would now what? He would take up his sword. And the sword would have been the weapon of choice used to fight enemies in close combat, right? Well, let's look at what the Bible has to say in Hebrews 4 about this sword of the word. It says this, for the word of God is alive. The word of God is alive. The word of God is active. It is what? It is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, even to dividing joints and marrow, and it judges what? It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So God's word, okay, the Bible, is alive. It is alive and it is personal. For God uses his word to speak to our hearts in order for us to hear exactly what we need to hear concerning whatever it is that we are going through. And in fact, we don't just read the Bible reads us, church. It reads us. And Jesus himself, he demonstrated, he showed us the power of God's word in this spiritual battle by him using it to fight off the devil, to fight off the temptations that the devil was throwing at him early on as he began his ministry. And let it be known that in order, okay, to use our weapon, the Bible, in order to use it, we need to have practice with it, right? Maybe much like a soldier, they wouldn't just grab their sword, look at it, know a little bit about it, then pick it up and head into battle. No, they would spend time with it. They would train with it over and over before entering battle. And in the same way, okay, if you and I, if we don't spend time in God's word and with God in his word, you know what happens? We become really clumsy with it. And we do a disservice to the gospel sometimes by taking maybe just one piece of information and running with it. We become clumsy with it. So the sword of the Spirit, this is the first offensive weapon that Paul mentions. With the second offensive weapon, in fact, being something that is often overlooked is even being a weapon by many. But it is, and it's a huge one at that. Let's look at verse 18. God's word says this, and pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Church, prayer is our secret weapon. Yet most people, again, don't even include prayer as a piece of the armor. Yet it is such, I'm telling you, it is such a crucial part. And did you notice that prayer, it is the only piece of armor that is not associated with a Roman soldier's piece of armor. Why may that be, do you think? Well, I've thought about this, and I believe that it is not a sign to any specific piece of armor because it applies to the way that we are to use every piece of armor. Everyone. Listen, as followers of Jesus, we must utilize prayer, this powerful weapon. We must utilize it as we engage with and use each and every part of the armor of God that we've talked about. For Paul says we should never stop praying. And he says that we are to keep on praying when? He says on all occasions. So are you praying? Like really praying? I know I've had seasons where I'm not really praying. So are you praying, like really praying? Because remember, this suit of armor, guys, is not our armor. It is God's armor. It's His. His armor given to us. He provides it to you and I, and we are commanded to put it on every day, and we are to be prayerful, covering it all. Because where are we going to get direction to utilize the armor that's His? Think about it. You got to ask Him. You got to listen for Him. And we need to remember, okay, amid our battles, that at the end of the day, we have victory. Our enemy's defeated. We have victory in Jesus. And that in Christ, the word says that we are more than, not just, we are more than conquerors. For the victory is already won. It's assured. It is promised for those of us who believe. Who believe in Jesus' life. Who believe that He died. Who believe that He subsequently rose again. Who believe that He is coming to return and to finish what He started. And to finish the enemy, Satan, once and for all. End of story. The enemy's lost, and he knows it. But the enemy, he wants us to forget that fact. So he meddles with us. He messes with us, which is why we must take the time and stop daily to put on the armor of God, which He, God, don't forget it, He in love, He has made available to you and I. And you see, a part of growing up or maturing in our faith, as this series has been all about, is suiting up for the battle, the battles that we all face, and it is suiting up with the full armor, not just pieces, okay, but the full armor, so that we, so that you can take our stand again against the enemy. And I say that to say this. There are sadly just too many Christians, I feel, only wearing the helmet of salvation, only holding on to their ticket to heaven, and that's it. Listen, it's not enough. We can and we will not win the battles ahead with only the helmet of salvation. Streaking soldiers just don't cut it. Okay, that ain't gonna cut it. So as we wrap up this series, you got to ask yourself, what's your next step? I mean, throughout this book of Ephesians, we have learned about the riches of Christ. That's how Paul started, our theology. And we have learned that grown and growing up Christians have different cravings than those who aren't growing up, right? And we have learned that grown up Christians love who? All people. We love all people. And we've also learned in this study that there is to be unity in the body of Christ. We've also learned that grown-up Christians, they put off the old self more and more. And as they do that, they put on the new self more and more to become more and more like Christ. And then last week, we talked about a really tough topic. Do you remember mutual submission? Ouch. But we talked about mutual submission in our relationships. And then today, we're talking about putting on our big boy or our big girl pants. The full armor of God. It's time to suit up. It's time. What's your next step? Now, real quick, I hope this works. I didn't test it. This idea came to me yesterday from my buddy Jake, who was up here doing the welcome, and I thought it was a pretty cool visual. Did you ever watch David Letterman? Didn't he used to do Sink or Float? Remember that? So I have here an orange that still has its peel on it. Then I have one that has its peel off. Armor on, armor off. What do you think about this one? You think it'll sink or float? Coming back up, isn't it? Here's one without its armor on. Sink or float? I want to invite the worship team forward, but let me just say, maybe you're here today, and maybe you didn't even know you were in a spiritual battle. You knew something was going on, but you didn't recognize it as a spiritual thing. That's what it is, first and foremost. And your God loves you, and he wants to help you put this armor on piece by piece. And maybe it's time for you to surrender to him and take your commanding orders from him. And maybe you're here today and you feel like you're sinking. Everything's just too heavy. It's time to put the armor on. And none of us are perfect at this, but maybe you've only had that helmet of salvation on. Maybe you've been really clumsy with that word. You love to just tell people what they're doing wrong. But are you looking at yourself? Are you looking at your own heart? It's time to suit up. So I'm going to invite Bob to come forward. I'm going to let him do it, actually. I'm not even going to come down here. But if you just want to pray today, you can do that. And we're going to worship and just come down and pray maybe about your salvation, maybe about what your next step is. Maybe you just feel like you're floating and you need a brother to pray with you. Would you be obedient to God in that and just know that we are better together? There's no judgment here. We're a family. So let me close in prayer, and then Bob, would you come up, and if you want to, you can come see Bob. Lord, I just thank you for this day. You are so, so good. Lord, you don't leave us defenseless. You give us everything we need. Not often what we want, but what we need. And so often, like I said earlier, after those opening set of songs, I think we pick battles ourselves that you wouldn't have us fight. Would you help us to release some of those things? Would you help us to spend our energy and our direction on you instead of on those other things and our own growth in you? We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.